Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me. Another humorous beginning. Okay, Baruch Hashem, I think we're on the phone, even though it did hang up on me the first time. But Baruch Hashem, we recovered. Hopefully this is working. Either way, we're going to learn about Bitachon. And today is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Aleph Tammuz, Tavshin Pei Gimel, 20th of June, 2023. And I was reminded of a story this morning as I walked to shul. It just blew into my mind from my youth. And I remember that I was not insulated from having a television. And on TV one time, there was a movie about World War II. And I don't recommend watching war movies. But anyway, I was a young boy watching this movie, and there were these two American soldiers in a trench. They were trying to defend their position, and they were being fired upon pretty heavily and getting a little overwhelmed. And one of them screamed to the other one, "Hey, they're throwing everything at us but the kitchen sink!" And you hear all these explosions going on, and there's artillery shells, and then suddenly they're like, huge, a humongous blast. And one of them says to the other one, "That was the kitchen sink." I heard that this expression is still here, everything but the kitchen sink. I don't know why the kitchen sink was zochet to be in this expression. But the point is, sometimes I said to myself, a person says, I think that everything is like raining down on me, all these different sorrows, chas v'shalom, but like I'm getting it from all angles, everything but the kitchen sink. And then comes the kitchen sink. What am I supposed to do in this situation? So I was reminded, and as I was walking, I also had a visual aid. Besides that, sometimes this is the way we feel, so overwhelmed. The visual aid that I saw was that the sky was partly cloudy, and I see that from the west is coming in like a layer of clouds, and I said, oh, now it's going to be cloudy also. So there's something out there that people's moods are affected by the sun or the clouds. It's a research fact. It doesn't have to be that way, but it is true. And I realized there's a pasuk in Tehillim that talks about cloudiness and darkness. And today, as we discuss everything but the kitchen sink seems to be thrown at me, and then there is the kitchen sink also, we seem to be sometimes in the dark or in the clouds. And in Tehillim, we said it this morning, Amechase Shomayim Be'ovim. Hashem covers the heavens with clouds. He makes it cloudy sometimes. Well, what's the cloudiness? Oh my goodness, it looks so gloomy. It's dismal. Some people, their moods are changed totally by the way it looks outside. But what's the next phrase in the pasuk? After it says Amechase Shomayim Be'ovim, he covers the heavens with clouds. Hamechin ha'aretz matar, but Hashem also prepares rain for the land. What's going on when it's cloudy? Many times, Hashem is preparing rain. Hamatzmiach harim chatzir. Hashem makes the mountains grow with vegetation, with herbage. What's the theme of this pasuk? You look in the Eretz Chaim. Here's a pirush. Eretz Chaim is brought in the Mikdash Ma'at Tehillim. One of my favorite all-time perushim. What does it mean when he covers the heavens with clouds? It looks dark. It looks dismal. It looks gloomy. And yes, he says, oh, Hamechase Shamayim Ba'avim, he covers the sky with clouds? It's overcast? Hu Midas Hadin. Indeed, it could be indicative, or it seems to create the impression of the attribute of justice, of negativity, Chas V'Shalom. Tenemar, he says, I'll prove it to you, says the Eretz Achayim. In this Pirush on Tehillim, Tehillim Kuf Mem Zayin, Pasuk Ches, it says in Eicha, the Pasuk in Eicha, Lamentations that we say on Tisha B'Av, hopefully it'll be a Simcha this year, that Yirmiyahu Hanavi said, Sakosa, the Ananlach, you covered with a cloud over yourself, Hashem. Hashem, you obscured yourself. You hid your Shechina. When the Korban happened, it makes it look, it looks like you're not there, Chas V'Shalom. Ah, vafilu hachi, but even so, hamechin laretz matar. What's going on when it's cloudy? What's the inner workings of cloudiness and darkness and obscurity? and the causes for our anxiety, it's that rain. The rain is midas harachamim. That's why he says, afilu haki, even so. Even though there seems to be midas hadin, that's a facade. That's the way that it looks out there. But that's not the reality. The reality is what's going on behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, Hashem is preparing rain. What's rain? What's that is rain? Rain is the lifeline of human beings and of animals and of the whole world. So it's all midas harachamim. But it's enveloped in clouds. So all the darkness that I feel that everything's being thrown at me. Everything's falling down on me. I feel overwhelmed and buried in my tzaras. I'm making the Aretz Mator. No, there's rain being prepared. There's Midas HaRachamim. There's the outpouring, the gushing of Hashem's compassion. And when it's cloudy outside, we can generate our own sunshine by seeing through the clouds, because the clouds always pass. But even when they're there, that's no reason for a lamentation. We can smile. When we smile, we are generating our own sunshine. We're being our own generators. It could be as cloudy as could be. It could be as dark as could be. If I will smile, then it's sunny in my life. I will make it sunny. I will illuminate my life and that of those close to me and those who are far from me and those who come in contact with me. Whose choice is it? That's correct. It's my choice. I have ownership of my facial expressions. We've said this over and over again. I'm learning it to remind myself, nobody can force me to not smile. Nobody can force me to frown or to look depressed. Nobody. That is my choice because I can actually still smile. Now you might say, well, isn't that phony? No, we already learned this before. I can transform my mood this way. Now, you might say, wait, this is a contradiction to the popular idea of validating a person's feelings or emotions. Aren't we supposed to validate and acknowledge these feelings that are negative and are sad? Yes, especially if someone comes to me, I need to validate. That's so hard. Maybe I should say it to myself, too. David and Siklag, we're going to learn again soon again. It keeps coming up. They found the city in ruins. They all cried. They validated their feelings. They definitely experienced human emotions. Yes, depression and anxiety, it has to be acknowledged that it's true and it's hard. Sometimes it's almost impossible and it does appear impossible. I acknowledge and validate all that, but then I pick myself up. And those around me also can be raised by my emotions, by radiating positive energy. That's my choice to do that. And then I said to myself, I shouldn't take it personally if I'm going through a whole bunch of stuff at one time. We seem to have sorrows clusters or spurts. And then Hashem, Baruch Hashem, it gives us respite to regroup and to catch up with ourselves. And then we're on the next level. But I'm reminding ourselves of the Mesilas Yesharim again that is going to come up later officially. But I don't take personally if I have lots of sorrows, lots of challenges. Because I read the Mesilas Yesharim again. How many people in this world have a tranquil existence? Remember the number that he says? We're going to see it. B'sir Rebbe Emes, says the Mesilas Yesharim, you should see in truth, Shekvar lo yuchal shum bal seichel lahamin. No person of intellect, no person with a straight way of thinking could possibly believe Shetachlis b'riyas ha'adam hu l'matzava ba'olam hazeh, that the purpose of our creation is that this is the destination and the end point is this world. It's not possible. It's illogical. What is life really in this world when it comes to quality? What's the quality of life in this world? Okay, yes, we can work on it and we can look at the positive, but there's a lot of challenge that goes on. So if I say to myself, hey, I'm not having a very tranquil time, things are really pretty bumpy. The turbulence seems to be more than the smoothness. Don't take it personally. After all, who is the person who is really joyous and tranquil in this world? We don't stay here for that long. Hopefully we're going to be here for a long time. It says 70, 80 years in Tehillim Perek Tzadi. And there's so much aggravation that's there. He describes their tsar, their discomfort, their illnesses, chas v'shalom, there are pains, discomforts, distractions, trados. And then after a while we leave. Hopefully we're here a very long, meaningful life. and we do have tranquility. But here's the statistic, says the Maseiros Yesharim. Echad mini elef lo yimatze. Not even one out of 1,000. Not even one person in 1,000 will be found. Sheyir beha'olam lo. Sheyar beha'olam lo hanos deshalva amitis. That the world and this world will provide for him a lot of pleasure and authentic, genuine tranquility. It's just not how this world is. So if this is how my existence is, if I am having a rough time, then I'm actually perfectly on target for what this world is about. So the question is, what am I going to do now? Is what does I do with it? Oh, what I do with it is I learn about bitachon and emunah, is how to take ownership of my emotions and address all this. And that's a Maseiros Yesharim that we learned within the last year, and Amir Tashem is going to come up again. It bears repetition. It also reminded me of something else. Remember that one of the greatest challenges and struggles we have is with relationships. And in this year's Chumash, in our school, Atara High School, we were learning Parshas Vayeshev and then Miketz, and Yaakov Avinu, he has these sons. He has children. His sons are in their 40s. Because remember, when Yosef finally revealed his identity, he was 39 years old. He was sold at 17, and he ended up he spoke to Paro, he interpreted his dream at 30, 7 years of plenty, 2 years of famine. So he's about 39, and the brothers, therefore, are in their 40s. So you'd think, you know, if my kids are all grown up, or if my sisters, or my brothers, or my parents, whoever else it is in my family, they're all grown up, so then everybody should be at peace, right? Aren't we mature already? We're grown-ups. Mm-mm. I love this sforno. In Parshas Miketz, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Now, why am I learning this? I'm learning this because I see that if we have a hard time raising children or getting along with our siblings or our parents or ever other people, we're not alone. Vayomer Aleihem Yaakov, Aviam. Yaakov, the father, said to his sons, O si shikaltem, you have caused me to mourn deeply for kids. This is what he told his sons. They're grown-ups. They're in their 40s with their own kids. Yosef and Anu. Remember, Yosef was missing for 22 years. And he is definitely at least alluding to the fact that it seems to be their fault. Yosef is not here anymore. This Shimon and Anu. And Shimon now, remember, Shimon was taken by the viceroy, who was really Yosef. He was taken and held there during this time. He's missing. Then my Rosh Hashiva would say, they're dropping like flies. Ves Binyamin tikachu. And now you want to take Binyamin back also? Here's my phrase that I love to read. Alai hayu kulana. On me were all these tsaros. Alai hayu kulana. I am suffering so much. Yaakov Avinu said it. On me have been all of them. There are multiple explanations in this pasuk. But one of my favorites is the sforno. Look at the sforno. Alai hayu kulana. Ein echad ne elu hanikrim be'echad mi b'neichem. Not one of these mishaps, not one of these disasters is with one of your kids. No, you guys, he's talking to his sons, so know that you're not the one suffering. Avokulam bibanai. They're all with my kids. Interesting way. Grandfather talking about his grandchildren, saying to his sons, he's saying, you guys aren't suffering this tsar gidol banim. I'm the one suffering because you are the guys causing me the tsar. You're not suffering. Zebli Safek, this without a doubt, says the Sforno, Eino Ki'im, it's not because of anything but, meaning it's only because of the Sivas Merivo Sechem Ze'im Ze'. What do you think about that? You just can't get along. You're grown-ups. You can't get along. You fight with each other. Okay, your brother, you had this rivalry, you had a conflict with Yosef. Yes, very, very high-level rivalry and conflict. The Shivtei Ka, the Kodesh Kodashim, they have disagreement, but still it's a Meriva, it's still a quarrel. You're fighting with each other. This is Yaakov talking to his sons who are in their 40s. Ve'atem ha-meshaklim osei, you're the ones causing me to mourn. I say to myself, what happened? We're talking about the Shvatim, and yes, it's their high level. They're literally the Shivtei Ka, but still there's one human aspect to it, and that is that there is discord in this family, and he says, you guys are causing you all the tsaras. Allah, hayu kulana. So any parents who have a hard time with their kids, just think about Yaakov Avinu. I always like to think, who's the first person who had trouble, who's the first couple who had Sar Gidelbanim, had a hard time raising their kids. Who are they? That's right, you got it. Adam and Chava. Didn't take very long, did it? For a couple to have a hard time raising kids. One of them kills the other one. That makes everything else look easy. So this triggered in me the reaction, it's a comforting one, that Saras aren't new, Saras aren't unique. They're there, they're here to be dealt with and to grow from them. And I want to thank my wife because she reminded me of a Reb Tzadok Meir Lublin that's all about this and says, this is how it's supposed to be. I'll read you Reb Tzadok. Yalfinun mibiraso shel olam. We learn out from the creation of the world, the v'chol davar, that in everything we go through in life, every topic, every category of existence, halayla kodim layom. The night comes before the day. That means darkness is first. Mystery and uncertainty and fright, it comes first. Ki de'isa reish brachos. Like it says in the beginning of brachos. It says, vahi era vahi voker. Ki b'chol davar haheder kodim lahavoya. And every experience, the absence of goodness comes before the existence. That means the lack and the crisis comes, and then there is relief. And then we say, well, wait a minute. 2 days ago, I had a day like that, right? Then Hashem gave me a day that was mostly, Baruch Hashem, it was a relief. It was tranquil. But then it came again. That's because that's the pattern of life that Hashem sends us. By the way, when I keep saying that Hashem sends us, that's a different philosophical topic, which really goes to the roots of Bitachon and Emunah, about what's causing all this difficulty anyway. That's a different topic. Suffice it to say that the Pal Gemayim, who's a very important Pirush on Eicha, written by Rabbeinu Yaakov Melissa, the Nesivos, he mentions that nothing negative comes from Hashem. Nothing bad or negative is created by Hashem. It's created by humans. Ultimately, sometimes it comes back to haunt us. Hashem holds it at bay, so we therefore do not experience sometimes what we've created that might be a negative, but nothing negative comes from Hashem. So when I say all these tzaros are being sent my way, you should know, according to the Pal Gemayim and Eicha, which we could explain perhaps a different time, it's my doing, either in this Gilgal or in a different existence perhaps, and it's being allowed to affect me somehow. That sometimes is comforting, because I say, yep, I have this whatever challenge, I have this discomfort. Yeah, I created that. Until now, I didn't experience it because Hashem was so compassionate and he's holding it back from affecting me. That's what we call midas harachamim. And often we'll never, ever have to suffer those things because we do tshuva and we work on ourselves. But the point is, the darkness, the uncertainty, and the oppression that we feel sometimes, it's before the light. This is the way, this is the pattern of how it goes. Where do we see it? Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. Hashem created the world that way. And it was evening. What is Erev? What's the Shoresh, the Svarim say? Easy to understand that. A Taruvas is a mixture. At nighttime, things look mixed up. When it becomes nighttime, there's a mixture. Is it light? Is it dark? What color is it, the sky? Is it the rays of the light? Is it the moon? By the way, you ever see the moon appear during the day? There's mixtures out there. There's confusion out there. It looks from our vantage point. That's what Erev is about. It's the time when we're confused. When it's nighttime, it's a Lashon of Taruvas. As Reb Tzadok explains, Ki b'chol davar haheder kodim lahavoya. The absence, the void, the emptiness comes before the existence. And when I will sit in darkness, he's paraphrasing a pasuk, Ada, I will know. I know for sure, for certain. Ki achar kach, that afterwards, it might not be the next minute or the next hour or the next day, but I know. Achar kach Hashem orli. Hashem is light for me. He will illuminate things for me. Pasuk in Micha, Perek Zion. Ki kol chayeho adam kach. Because all of a person's life is this way. Murkavim, they're grafted, they're comprised of even opposing elements. Mehazman, Choshech, the Or, Yom Balayla. That is the way that life is. Because there is a mixture. And every time and every moment we live has the potential to be hybrid of darkness and light, day and night. Kach chozer chalila. And it comes back again around that way. Because what I'm grappling with is, Ribono shel Olam, if I made it through 2 days ago, all those challenges, please, and I asked Hashem, please Hashem, don't give me another day like that one. Ever. You ever ask Hashem that? It's okay. Ribono shel Olam, we're allowed to talk to Hashem. Hashem, please, if I have a day that's even similar to that, in the least bit, help me really big time assistance to make it through as smoothly as possible, more smoothly than last time. But it says, Chozer Chalila, he says. That's an expression, like the Mishnah and Sukkah, in many places. It means it goes around, comes back around again, because we're climbing different levels as we come through these struggles. Raksha Choshech Kodem. But the dark comes first. That means we have something to look forward to. And here comes the mashal. We take out a beautiful, delicious, succulent orange or a banana. The klipa kodemes lepri. The peel, the husk, comes before the fruit. We have to go through the husk. We have to peel it off, make it through, and then we reach the fruit. And it just occurred to me that my grandmother, Zichron Livracha, used to make honey cake and it had orange peels in it. I'm sure there are recipes like that. That shows you that even the klipa, which is the peel, the husk, the outside inedible component, is also can be integrated and assimilated into the edible, into the positive. We can do that also. Chutz v'kotchim. And I was going over this on Shabbos, and it occurred to me. And then Baruch Hashem, I saw Reb Tzadok Tzedek. There's an exception to this rule when it comes to karbanos. Example. Let's say a person did one of the 31 Averos out of the 36 Averos that are Chayef Kares, and there are 31 main Averos, he has to bring a carbon chatos. There are other chatos also, but it's a sin offering. Let's say this is an example. The person brings this sin offering, a chatos, brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim are the only ones allowed to eat it. Same thing with the carbon asham. How long do they have to eat it? They have a day and a night. A day and a night. Not a night and then the day. No. It's the day and then the night. That means when it comes to karbanos, the night goes after the day, as opposed to creation of the world, that the day goes after the night. In other words, the night comes first in the creation of the world and in the way that sorrows and experiences unfold from Hashem. When it comes to karbanos, it's the opposite. Why? Why is it that by a carbon, you're thinking, oh yeah, because, well, you can't bring the carbon to begin with at night. You're not allowed to do shechita, you can't slaughter it, you can't receive the blood, you can't bring the blood to the mizbeach, you can't sprinkle it, you can't do all that at night, so obviously you're going to bring it during the day, fine, but still we learn out, bottom line is that when it comes to karbanos, offerings, it's the day first, then the night. Why is that the exception? I thought we just said before, whenever there's darkness, the darkness precedes the light. The hardships precede the relief. But when it comes to karbanos, it seems to be that the light precedes the darkness. Well, why? Hi, Malon. As he says, we paskin, it's established to us. Halayla achar hayom, the night is after the day. Why? Why? That's right. Because what is it called? It's called a carbon. A person is already close. Kimisha kavar ba el hakodesh. A person who already has come into the holy realm of his or her existence. Hayom kodem. Then the person's already in the fruit. That's there right now. The day is first. The light is here. Kimisha ome tocha pri. It's like a person who stands already inside the fruit. Doesn't have to go through that peel because the person is in the activity and enveloped in a positive way in the process of bringing a carbon whose root is karov, is getting close to Hashem. If I am subscribing to this closeness to Hashem, I adhere to the Shechina and Hashem's ratzon, his will, then I'm already in the daytime. So the day is before the night. There doesn't have to be a night before the day. That's really what it's trying to tell us. Misha ome tocha pri etzlo ha pri kodem leklipa. The fruit is before the peel. So what does this show us, though? If we feel that we're in the dark, if we feel it's cloudy, first of all, I remember Hamechaseh Shamayim Ba'avim, that Hashem covers the heavens and the sky with clouds. Things look cloudy to me. They look dark. They look mysterious.
feel it's insurmountable and impossible, chas v'shalom, I have to remember, it says right away, David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, Hamechin la'aretz matar, Hashem is just preparing rain for the land. That's just a prerequisite for the light. That's the cloudiness before the rachamim. That's the darkness before the light, the night before the day. Because really what's happening is the wheels are turning, the buttons are being pushed, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is preparing rain. Relief. That's how I have to look at every tzara that comes. There is so many different sizes of tzaras. They seem to come in every size and shape. But it's the night before the day. And appropriately, since that story of the soldiers in the trench came to me, we're going to continue looking at the Chafetz Chaim for the last couple of minutes, how he gives this encouraging talk to the soldiers who are on the battlefield. And we say every single time that it's the battlefield of life, it's the battle with our negative emotions to overcome and to channel, to acknowledge and to realize that they're true, to validate, but then to move forward on the battlefield. So the Chafetz Chaim tells us for our closing few minutes of the day, Hare Muchach Min HaTorah, behold, it is very clear from the Torah, Shafilu Be'es Tokef Kolach Hadin, that even at the time that there seems to be overwhelming, overpowering attribute of justice, things look really dismal, chas v'shalom. It's really cloudy in my life. It's dark. It's mysterious. It's not solvable. Shetzar lahadam ma'od, that a person feels very oppressed and limited and constricted. Im ha'adam doresh la'kadosh baruch hu, if the person seeks Hashem, b'chol libo, with his whole heart, you might say, I don't have energy for this. So a great example is Tefilas Ne'ilah, how the Mishnah Berurah says that right before the last prayer on Yom Kippur, even if we're very weak and we're tired and we're starving, we went through the whole Yom Kippur, we have to muster our strength. Well, I've said to myself many times, that's not just Ne'ilah, Yom Kippur. That could be any day of the year. I'm weary. I'm worn out. I don't think I have any more strength. I do. Because what I could do is, even if I can't even daven now, I'm so exhausted. I'm so wrung out. But I can seek Hashem with my whole heart. I can think to myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudkei Vavkei, you can help me. And it says, the Sfarim explained to us, thought is like talking when it comes to Hashem. Of course we have to daven and verbalize, but sometimes we're too weak. We think. That's so powerful. V'chol nafsho, the person who puts forth all of his or her energy, whole soul, a whole being, who techeth nimtza a love. Immediately, Hashem is found next to this person. That means sometimes I have to regroup in my thoughts and I have to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. I need help now. This is too hard for me. It's too many different sorrows for me to be able to handle and to manage. Techeth nimtza a love. Immediately, Hashem is at that person. Hamachase shamayim be'avim. Even though Hashem covers the sky with clouds, Hameshim la'aretz matar. He's standing there ready to make it rain, bracha, and relief. Ukumosha kasuv, and like it's written, Karov Hashem l'chol korav. Hashem is close to all those who call out to Him. L'chol asher yikru'u v'emes. To all those who will call out to Him with truth, with a genuine concentration, to the best of the person's ability. Mirat Hashem, we're going to continue next time in the Machane Yisrael or other comments that will preface it. And we will see that even against all odds, when in all likelihood, it doesn't look very promising, whatever I am struggling with, that has nothing to do with reality. The reality is that Hashem is capable of anything and everything. So no matter what the odds and the probability are, it's a cinch for Hashem. It's a piece of cake to get me through whatever it is that I am going through that is making me suffer, chas v'shalom. So Hashem should help us that in any type of challenges we have, we should be able to come through them with bitachon and tefillah. And Amir Hashem will continue next week. A good chodesh to everybody. Have a great week. Thank you.